is a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships striking from a hidden base have won their first victory against the evil Galactic Empire. During the battle, Rebel spies managed to steal secret plans to the Empire's ultimate weapon, the Death Star, an armored space station with enough power to destroy an entire planet. Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Princess Leia races home aboard her starship, custodian of the stolen plans that can save her people and restore freedom to the galaxy. Now, these are the opening credits from Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. Now I'll read a different kind of Star Wars account. This one is found in the Bible, in specific Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the For God So Loved podcast. I hope that today's episode will be of great blessing to you. I pray that it will impact you, and I really pray that you will learn something that will help you develop your relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. I can't help but think that George Lucas was inspired by Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, when he was writing his Star Wars movie. There seems to be a couple of elements that are similar between two accounts. In the movie, there's a woman. In the Bible, there's a woman. The woman in the movie is called Princess Leia, and she has plans to bring freedom to the whole galaxy. In the Bible, there's a child, and that child is God's plan to bring freedom to humanity. And in the broader scheme of things, the whole universe from the grasp of the devil. In both accounts, there is a civil war. There's a civil war in heaven, where the dragon drew a third part of the stars, which we'll see afterwards. The stars represent the angels. In the movie as well, there's a civil war between the rebels and the Empire. I want you to remember that there is evil by the time Adam and Eve are created, or at least by the time they sinned. We talked about their fall, their sin, in the last episode. And we saw that there was, number one, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And number two, there was an evil serpent. The fact that there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the fact that there was an evil serpent, means therefore that evil existed by that time. So we'll begin reading our account as we try to establish, where did sin begin? Where did evil begin? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15. The subtitle, How You Have Fallen. I read from verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. From this verse, we see that Lucifer used to be in heaven because he fell from heaven. He was in heaven. Heaven is a higher place, since the text says that Lucifer was cut down to the ground. Also, Paul in Hebrews chapter 16 describes heaven as a better country The Bible also speaks of heaven as where God lives, and the word heaven in Hebrew translates to sky, showing its elevated quality. But why would he, Lucifer, fall from heaven, a perfect place, or as Revelation puts it, cast out? We get a hint. Lucifer is described as one who weakened the nations. Now we know from Revelation that when Lucifer was cast out, he was kicked out with a third of the stars of heaven. Like we said, stars of heaven is symbolic for angels, and you can read Job chapter 38 verse 7. That collaborates the idea. So how did Lucifer weaken the nations? Because that's part of the reason why he was kicked out. We read on in verse 13 of Isaiah chapter 14. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. Lucifer weakened the nations when he said in his heart that he would ascend into heaven, that he would exalt his throne above the stars or the angels of God, that he would sit also upon the mount of congregation, and that he would sit in the sides of the north. In essence, Lucifer wanted to take up the position of sovereign ruler in the whole universe, and as such, began a political campaign to do so. And that campaign had him kicked out with a third of the angels who ended up being his followers. We read on in verse 14. Lucifer said in his heart, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The Most High is like this. He is the possessor of heaven and earth. You can read this in Genesis chapter 14 verse 19. He is the possessor of heaven and earth because he, the Most High, created heaven and earth and everything that is in them. And we talked about this in the first episode and even in the episodes that came after that. That God created everything using his word. The Most High that Lucifer wanted to be like is the one that redeems. He is the one that saves people from utter ruin, as he did, number one, to the Israelites when he brought them out of Egypt. And number two, as he did for all humanity at Calvary when he sent his son on a mission to come and redeem this planet. The Most High is also like this. He is all-knowing. He is all-present. With neither beginning nor end, he is the self-existent one. He is above all. The Most High is therefore worshipped and loved above all. That is who Lucifer wanted to supplant and take his position. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, God says, to the sides of the pit. The Most High, the real one, the only one, proclaims through his servant Isaiah in verse 15 that down is Lucifer's direction and not up. He shall be brought down to hell. He shall not ascend up to the mountain of God. He shall be brought down to the sides of the pit, not the sides of the north that he aspires to ascend to. We will study another account of the fall of Lucifer This time we study from Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 12 to 19. And the subtitle is, Till Iniquity Was Found in Thee. I read from verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. From this verse, we see that Lucifer was the sum of perfection. You could not get any more perfect than Lucifer without being God. He was full of wisdom. He was also perfect in beauty. He had everything going for him, so he had no reason to rebel as he did, and in essence caused the other angels to rebel with him. I read on in verse 13, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. From verse 13, we see that Lucifer was in Eden, and in particular, the garden. He had every precious stone as his covering. He was gifted with tabrets and pipes, referring to his musical gifts. It also shows how beautiful his voice was. But remember that the same voice became deceptive. We read on in verse 14 of Ezekiel chapter 28. The subtitle, remember, is Till Iniquity Was Found in Thee. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God, that has walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. This verse tells us that Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covers. Anointed meaning he was set apart for a purpose. Cherub is singular and refers to a class of angels. He was the covering cherub, meaning that he was the guardian. He was to the angels what Adam was to humanity. Not in the strictest sense as ancestor, but as the image of God in all ways pertaining to character and beauty. What was his purpose, you may ask? His was to proclaim God through action, speech, and beauty, and was right next to God's throne. He was upon the holy mountain of God, meaning he was in a place of leadership, since the mountain of God is where the Most High reigns from. He walked up and down, meaning he had authority and responsibility, warranting his ability to walk up and down, or else he would appear as a trespasser. We infer this from the book of Job, when he, that is Lucifer, after he has fallen and has had a name change to Satan, goes to heaven as Earth's representative. Because when Adam sinned by eating the forbidden fruit, he essentially became a servant of Lucifer, and Lucifer then usurped or stole Adam's dominion and became the representative of Earth. We are also told he walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, which refers to the angels. As Paul describes them in Hebrews chapter 1, his servants are flames of fire. are read on in verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Lucifer was perfect in his ways from the day he was created. This changed when malice was found in him. It was found in him when he decided in his heart to steal the throne from God. We read on in verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. This verse speaks of the multitude of merchandise that filled the midst of Lucifer with violence. Merchandise refers to the gifts that he was endowed with, his beauty and perfection, his wisdom. There were so many that in him was found harm and wrongdoing. His blessings were many, so much so that they corrupted him. Because of his sins, he was cast out and was promised destruction. Jesus says that a lake of fire shall consume fallen Lucifer or Satan and his angels, and sadly all who do not repent of their sin. That hits closer to home, doesn't it? It does for me. Verse 17 says that Lucifer's heart was lifted up because of his beauty, that he corrupted his wisdom by reason of his brightness. God then promises that he will cast him to the ground, that he will lay him before kings, that the kings may behold him for who he truly is, for his true character. Now the previous verse speaks of the multitude of merchandise that caused Lucifer to sin. Verse 17 expounds by stating that Lucifer was proud because of his beauty. His wisdom, which was perfect, became corrupted because of his brightness or beauty or magnificence. It also says that his corrupt wisdom caused him to sin. God promises to cast Lucifer to the ground. He, number one, was cast out of heaven when he was kicked out with his third of the angels that followed after him. He was also cast out when Jesus died on the cross. As Jesus said, now is the ruler of this world cast out. He will be destroyed when God executes judgment at last, when everyone is rewarded according to their works, and Lucifer will be laid bare and will be seen and acknowledged by all as to the malevolent being that he is. So where does that leave us? A couple of lessons we should see. We should not love ourselves. We should think about others. Jesus answering a lawyer that came to him and asked him, Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus responded by saying, love your God. This is the first and greatest. And then he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is the second. The whole Old Testament is founded on this. God does not call us to think about ourselves, to love ourselves, to adore ourselves, to put our needs before those of others. He calls us to be selfless. Lucifer's greatest sin was self-exaltation. He loved himself. He had an I problem, stating, I will ascend to the mount of congregation. I will ascend to the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High God. And that caused him to hate God. It caused him to sin. It was always about him, and that was his problem. And this is quite sobering, because just like the serpent, he was endowed with beauty and wisdom, perfection. But that perfection corrupted him because he began to dwell on himself and not on others. And so you might be gifted, you might be talented, but how do you use your gifts? How do you use your talents? Are they all about you? About what you want? About what you can get? Or do you think about others first? Do you think about God? You know, Jesus gave us the perfect example and instruction. Like I said, he said that we should love God first and then love other people. There is no space to love ourselves. It should always be about others. I'll leave you with this quote. There is nothing save the selfish heart of man that lives unto itself. No bird that cleaves the air, no animal that moves upon the ground, but ministers to some other life. There is no leaf of the forest or lowly blade of grass, but has its ministry. Every tree and shrub and leaf pours forth that element of life without which neither man nor animal could live. And man and animal in turn minister to the life of tree and shrub and leaf. The flowers breathe fragrance and unfold their beauty in blessing to the world. The sun sheds its light to gladden a thousand worlds. The ocean itself, the source of all our springs and fountains, receives the streams from every land, but takes to give. The mists ascending from its bosom fall in showers to water the earth, that it may bring forth and bud. The Desire of Ages by Ellen G. White, page 20, paragraph 2. And so I hope that you will think about this lesson, and I hope that you will think about others, that you will love them, and that you will love God, and that you will accept his grand plan to save you from the grasp of sin and the devil.